So today's reading comes from the fourth chapter of Matthew. It starts with the 12th verse. I'm reading from the Message. When Jesus got word that John had been arrested, he returned to Galilee. He moved from his hometown of Nazareth to the lakeside village of Capernaum, nestled at the base of Zebulun and the Naphtali Hills. This move completed Isaiah's sermon. This Isaiah prophesied sermon came to life in Galilee the moment Jesus started preaching. He picked up where John had left off. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. And walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said, "Come with me, and I will make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of bass and perch." They didn't ask questions. They simply dropped their nets, and they began to follow. Okay. You know, sometimes it's really hard to read scripture, isn't it? I mean, make it to relate to today. Because this is, who does that?
Go fishing?
No, who just drops their nets and follows this dude that comes walking along the lakeshore and says, "Hey, come on, I got something better for you to do." Today, we look at it and go, yeah, okay. We don't even change jobs. I got people that need to talk to your people. And they got people that need to talk to those people. This just isn't, I don't know, folks. I know why it is so hard for the church to be relevant these days. Because we really have to work to make this work. It's why when I talk to people and they start talking about religion and they start talking about their spiritual experiences, and the first thing they say to me, "Well, in the Bible, in the Word of God, it says." Now, I don't want to sound too sarcastic here, but what I want to sit there and do is go, "Oh, my head is going to hurt." Because you're going to give me a line that you don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You're going to pretend that you know where it came from. You're going to pretend that you've got this great understanding of what happened in this story. And you haven't got a clue. There is no way that you could be alive in 2017 and have any idea of what it would be like to be sitting on a lake and have some dude come by in barefoot, in nothing but a pair of sandals or barefoot and a robe and go, "Hey, I don't know what kind of fishing you're doing, but I'm going to give you a different kind of way to fish and you just come on." And you're going to get up like you're the zombie from the apocalypse and go follow. I mean, that's stuff that's made. Well, the best that we could do, folks, is what? We had Jim Jones, amen? Amen? You know, our church gets accused. We have some new folks here today. I always love it when we have new folks because I get to tell this story again, that we get accused occasionally of being a cult. Yeah, because we're not inside. We're not following those creeds. We're not doing everything the way we're supposed to. So people, their way to explain us is, "Oh, they're a cult." And my answer to that is, really, I couldn't get this congregation to agree on the flavor of Kool-Aid, much less drink it. A cult requires that you be ignorant. A cult requires that you have no mind of your own. That is totally the opposite of everything that we've ever taught at this church. In fact, I've said to people that this is probably the hardest church you'll ever belong to. Because I'm not going to tell you, I am not going to give you a formula and say, here, follow this, and you'll be okay with God. I'm not going to give you a piece of paper that says, follow these rules, and you'll be okay with the church, and when you die, you're going to walk through those pearly gates, and you're going to get a ruby for your crown. Now, if you're going to get a ruby in your crown, you're going to have to ask for it. And if you think that's what going to heaven is about getting a ruby in your crown, then I would suggest to you that we have some more talking to do about what spirituality really is all about. Amen. But I digress. What is the story really about? Why do you think somebody just... and you be quiet. You can't be married to the pastor for 35 years and not already have the answer, right? So, somebody else, what do you really think Matthew was trying to do with this story? Jesus' cousin has just been arrested, which means that Jesus has already been baptized, and now he's taken up the mantra of John. Remember? And John's word was what? Repent. And we know repent means what?
Change of direction.
Back. Turn back, come back, turn around. What do you think Matthew is trying to do with this story? Because, what this is about is relationship. Understand. See, the one thing that we didn't notice here is the dude is walking along, right? And according to the story, he called them by their name. Hello? I don't know. Now, see, I left that out of the story. You're sitting up there on Lake Gwinnett or whatever the hell it is up there. And a dude comes by and says, hey, I know you're fishing, but I got a different way for you to fish. Come on. You're going to look at him and go, huh? Right? But if you come along and go, hey, Deb, Polly, grandmother of Francesca, I got a job for you. Come on. Whoa. The whole story just changed. See, the reason this doesn't get preached, the reason it doesn't get pointed out, is because it's too personal. See, we pretend that we like the personal God, amen? Because you get those preachers, they stand up there and they make sin as personal as it could possibly be, amen? And the whole time they're making sin personal, what have they got? Oh yeah, their hand out right here, amen? It's right at your pocketbook. But that is not what this is about. This story is very, very clear that this dude knows your name. Well, now, I got to tell you something. That makes a difference with me. When did your relationship with God change? I would be willing to bet that it changed when you realized that God knew your name. And that that meant something. And that when God said, come to me, how could you say no? The dude knows my name. Nobody else in this world Not only do they not know my name, but they could give a damn less about where my next meal comes from, whether I live or die, or whether or not I live in a house or on the street, but God knows my name. That's what today's about. You said, by the way, you all did more preaching to us today than we've done for you. Because when you made the statement, we just kept getting called. You get it, folks? You get it? You know, Gentle Spirit Christian Church, the next time that you're worried about whether we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, remember these two on this particular Sunday. God knows our name. We do what we do because God knows our name. Have a great week. Amen.